Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2259, with a release date of Friday, February 12, 2021, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A local MCOM conference goes virtual and possibly global. Hams in Austria challenge proposed rule changes. And can spinach transmit wirelessly? All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2259, comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, NAWB.
Regrouping to accommodate the pandemic, a respected emergency communications event has been able to extend its reach far beyond the Pacific Northwest. Christian Kudnick, K0STH, tells us what's happening.
For the first time in its 20 years, Communications Academy is going global. The pandemic has turned the two-day Emergency Preparedness Conference in Pacific Northwest into a live online event with possibilities for international participation. It's being held this year on April 10th and 11th. Although it attracts a sizable number of hams, attendees needn't be amateur radio operators. In fact, many of the presenters are hams, including Tom Cox, VE6TOX, ICS consultant for Alberta Emergency Management Agency, Jason Bierman, KI7KVP, director of Snohomish, Washington's Department of Emergency Management, and Ward Silver, N0AX, will present on station grounding and bonding. If you're anywhere in the world and want to sharpen your emergency communication skills, this is a free opportunity to receive training while getting real-time access to presenters. Although the presentations will be recorded, the experts will be available for live chat with attendees in question and answer sessions. Tim Helming, WT1IM, told Newsline in an email that Comm Academy is the only surviving significant event in Washington State and was made possible by switching to a virtual event. He said, quote, "It promises to be a great training opportunity for all of us in Washington State and perhaps beyond," end quote. Tim said graduates of the two-day academy often go on to do good work, putting their knowledge into action, which is, of course, what it's all about. For details or to register, visit commacademy.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
Austria's main amateur radio society is fighting back against proposed laws it considers unfriendly to hams. Ed Durant, DD5LP, brings us that story.
The Austrian Amateur Radio Society, UVSV, is challenging proposed regulation changes by Parliament that the amateurs say would diminish privileges and spectrum allocations. Society President Mike Zwingel, OE3MZC, told Newsline that a pending amendment to the Telecommunications Act of 2020 contains language that would erode previous gains made by radio amateurs and fail to protect their licenses. Mike said that the new law's language institutes measures which would impede hams' roles in emergency communications and passing welfare traffic. The change would also raise costs for licenses and impose larger fines for violations. The amendment also would leave amateurs with no protection against harmful interference. With lifetime licenses abolished, all new licenses being issued would expire after 10 years. The Radio Society would also lose the ability to administer license exams. Mike told Newsline that hams enjoyed robust activity following the passage in 2003 and 2007 of amateur radio laws favouring experimentation and new technologies. He said a change in government in 2018 led to a new, more complex telecoms law that took over the administration of amateur radio laws as well. The Austrian Ham Organisation is encouraging amateurs to contact the Ministry and Telecommunications Authority, indicating their support for the group's position. Mike said the society had filed its comments earlier with Parliament. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
To ensure that clubs and individuals have adequate planning time for field day this year, the ARRL has announced that the same modified rules from last year's pandemic plan will be in place this year, along with new power limits for Class D and Class E stations. Both are home stations, with Class C operating on emergency power. Both will have a limit of 150 watts PEP. As with last year's scoring, club scores will be a sum of all individual entries, attributing their points to a club. Field day will be held on June 26th and 27th. Additional updates are available on the Facebook page of the ARRL and the ARRL's own field day page on its website, ARRL.org. Congratulations to the California ninth grader and amateur radio operator who is among those students to win the prestigious Congressional App Challenge. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, has the details.
Sean McDonnellan, KM6NGN, is the author of an amateur radio app for mobile devices that simplifies coordination tasks for NET controllers overseeing hams in the field at public service events. The app, NetHam, was the top winner in the 2020 Congressional App Challenge in his home state's 11th congressional district. The United States House of Representatives established the nationwide award 8 years ago to inspire students in the fields of science, technology, engineering, and math. The award is being given out this year in 308 of 435 congressional districts. The app makes use of a Raspberry Pi 4B, an Arduino, and a Nexion HMI touch display. To see it in action, watch Sean's demonstration video at the web address you'll find in this week's newscast script at arnewsline.org. Well done, Sean. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
The biggest challenge of a QSO party isn't necessarily the propagation. Here's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with the story of one group of hams who found that out.
Members of the Mississippi Valley Amateur Radio Association were up for the challenge of the Minnesota QSO party and hoped their brand new mobile communications bus was, too. The hams crossed the state border from their Wisconsin home into a Minnesota county that is considered rare for these operating events. Using CWN phone, they joined the action from a parking lot at a High Point in Houston County for the February 6th contest. They used the call sign Whiskey Zero Minnesota. Vice President Bill Kleinschmidt, N9FDE, told Newsline that 11 hams participated, two serving as the main ops, while the others filled in and provided support. Bill said Mother Nature was ready for the QSO party too, in a different way. He told Newsline, quote, "She dumped 6 inches of snow on us just before the contest. Then, to add insult, she dropped the temperature 10 to 20 below zero for setup and takedown operations," end quote. The bus passed the test and everyone kept warm for the full 10 hours. The club did well, too, with a total score of 203,392, combining the 1,816 QSO points to the state, province, county, and DX scores. Bill told Newsline the real challenge of the day came later, when the bus brakes failed just as the hams prepared to drive down from the hill. The brakes had begun to leak. The hams made one final call of the day to Craig, N9ETD, who runs a towing business. Bill told Newsline that the repairs were underway and that the club should be back on the road soon for new adventures. Next up, their home state Wisconsin QSO party on March 14th and 15th. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Members of the Military Auxiliary Radio System will have their first interoperability exercise with the amateur radio community on February 23rd through the 27th. Exercises will begin on Channel 1, the initial calling channel, on 60 meters, but may not necessarily be limited to that channel. U.S. Army MARS Chief Paul English, WD8DBY, issued a statement saying that ICS-213 messages will be passed in both voice and digital modes. Radio operations will also take place in the usual voice modes. Following this month's exercise, the next one will be held from March 1st to March 7th. An American-built RF jamming system is about to begin production to help the military in Australia. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, explains what it will do.
Australia's military is expected to benefit from the protective power of RF jammers under a system being developed by Northrop Grumman Corporation in the United States. The system of open architecture RF jammers will be built by electronics warfare experts to provide protection from radio-controlled improvised explosive devices, or IEDs. The system is designed to minimize disruption to communication systems while establishing a protective barrier for the warfighters and their equipment. The $329.9 million order for the system, which is designed to protect foot soldiers, vehicles, and permanent structures, according to officials of the United States Naval Sea Systems Command, which announced the order. Work will be done in San Diego, California, and is expected to be ready for delivery to Australia by December of 2022. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Utah Amateur Radio Club's W7SP repeater on Sundays as part of the club's 9 p.m. net. Organizers are still looking for amateurs' ideas for presentations at next month's HAMSI workshop, but the deadline is almost here. CellMB KB3TZD explains.
With this year's HAMSI workshop coming up on March 19th and 20th, the deadline is approaching fast for hams, scientists, and other experts to submit presentation abstract proposals. This year's theme is mid-latitude ionospheric sensing, but presentations are not required on that subject. The workshop will again be held virtually on Zoom, as it was last year, in cooperation with the University of Scranton in Pennsylvania and sponsored by the National Science Foundation. A team meeting will also be held for HAMSI's Personal Space Weather Station project. This project's goal is the creation of a citizen science instrument that enables space weather to be studied right from your QTH. Abstracts for presentations are due by the 15th of February. They can be sent via the conference webpage at hamsci.org. That's hamsci.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Cell MB, KB3TZD.
The popular Wyong Field Day in Australia has been canceled due to COVID precautions, but Ed Durant, VK2JI, tells us what will be happening in its place.
In light of the recent new COVID events across Australia and the situation's changeable nature at present, the Executive Committee of the Central Coast Amateur Radio Club, with input from a survey of club members, has decided not to run the Wyong Field Day 2021, which was planned for Sunday the 28th of February. This is a decision that was not easy and was taken considering the safety of the club members, traders and those who attend the day. However, open your calendars as the club wishes to announce the Central Coast Amateur Radio Club Mayhem event, which will be held on Sunday the 30th of May 2021 at the Wyong Racecourse. We would like to see this one-time event attract as many visitors as the Field Day does every year. Who knows, this could be the largest gathering of radio amateurs in the Southern Hemisphere this year. Traders have already been contacted and informed of the new date, and we expect the exhibitor and lecturer variety to be just as broad as was planned for the 2021 Field Day. Full details and information regarding this event will be updated on the club's website at ccarc.org.au and through social media as it becomes available. Looking forward to no mayhem at the Mayhem event for the Central Coast ARC. This was Ed, VK2JI.
A Canadian satellite operator has become the latest player to join the low Earth orbit action over Earth skies. The company Telesat announced on February 9th that it intends to build a constellation of 300 satellites in order to deliver high-speed internet worldwide in the next 2 years. Known as Lightspeed, it will be designed to serve fixed and mobile network operators, aeronautical and maritime users, enterprise customers, and governments. Consumers wishing to use Lightspeed services would purchase their service from one of Lightspeed's direct customers. The company said financing still needed to be finalized. If Telesat is successful, that would make the company the latest seeking to offer satellite-based internet services. The most well-known one, perhaps, is SpaceX's Starlink service, which is already serving parts of North America. Project Kuiper has also announced it's moving forward, but has no launches yet. The Radio Society of Great Britain has announced the winners of its construction competition held during lockdown, and Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has the results.
The Radio Society of Great Britain has announced the winners of the construction competition held for projects created during the autumn 2020 lockdown, the Christmas and New Year holiday period, and the early part of this year. Response exceeded the Society's expectations, and the decision was made to name four winners instead of one. Congratulations to first prize winner Gordon Lean, G3WJG, runner-up Paul Graham, M0PGX, third prize winner Lawrence Fletcher, G4SXH, and to Robert Lynch, M0NVQ, who was chosen as highly commended. Learn more about their projects in the April RadCom and on the RSGB website at the URL given in the written text on the arnewsline.org website. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, members of a group known as the Fifth Ocean, with the support of the Union of Radio Amateurs of Russia, will be on the air as R115AN to celebrate the 115th anniversary of the birth of legendary aircraft engineer Oleg Konstantinovich Antonov, a legendary aircraft designer until February 14th. He is considered the father of transport aviation in Russia. Listen on various HF bands as well as VHF. There will be an operator's diploma honoring him as the father of transport aviation. For QSL details, visit QRZ.com. In Brazil, Charles, PU3NVN, Douglas, PU3DPA, and Gilberto, PY3GIL, will use the call sign ZW3CM from a lighthouse in Tavares during the 13th American Lighthouses Weekend. Activity begins February 19th and runs through the 21st. Send QSLs to PU3DPA by the Bureau. Be listening on 20 meters. Expect to see the return of the Fox Mike Hotel Portable Operations Challenge later this year with changes. The event will happen earlier on the 4th and 5th of September and will consist of three separate four-hour sprint windows for operators, a departure from last year's format. Each four-hour session is a contest in itself, but all three will be totaled to find the overall winner. As in last year's contest, scoring system is kilometer per watt based and uses a handicapping system to level the playing field between the large and small stations. Mark it on your calendar. Details will follow later this year. Meanwhile, you can visit foxmikehotel.com/challenge for more details. Finally, we end this week's report by asking, do you think that's just spinach on your plate? Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, tells us why we may need to rethink this popular salad ingredient.
Popeye, the classic American cartoon character, knew that eating spinach could make you strong. But imagine if that same spinach could help you send emails wirelessly? Sure, hams are doing this right now with the proper software, but not with vegetables. According to a report from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, researchers there have used nanotechnology to transform spinach into sensors that can detect explosives. When they do, they relay that information back to the scientists, wirelessly. This complex feat of engineering electronic components and systems into plants is known as plant nanobionics. In this instance, it takes advantage of spinach's extensive root network, which has the ability to sample and transport groundwater from the soil up into the leaves. If the roots detect that groundwater possesses nitroaromatics, something often found in explosives, the carbon nanotubes embedded in the spinach leaves emit a signal that can be read by an infrared camera capable of emailing an alert to a handheld device similar to a mobile phone. If this sounds a little too wild to believe, consider our story on Newsline last year about researchers in Huntsville, Alabama, who discovered that there's electrical signal propagation going on between tomato plants. Whether any of this is ultimately useful to us in the ham shack remains to be seen, but one thing's for sure. We may soon be looking at our salads with newfound respect. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
With thanks to the Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, Bill Kleinschmidt, N9FDE, the Central Coast Amateur Radio Club, CQ Magazine, David Bihar, K7DB, HamSci, Mars, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Mike Zwingle, OE3MZC, MilitaryAerospace.com, Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, QRZ.com, Patch.com, Sci.org, Science./. Southgate Amateur Radio News, ShortwaveRadio.de, Southgate, Space.com, Ted Randall's QSO radio show, Tim Helming, WT1IM, the Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, YOTA, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@airnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GOT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2021, all rights reserved.